Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Byrd. Last week, the young white supremacist convicted of killing 9 people in a racially motivated attack was sentenced to death. But one remarkable feature in Dylan Roof's case was the forgiveness offered to him by the families of some of his victims. Today, we'll talk to a man who had to walk a similar path when his daughter was brutally raped and murdered in his own home.
I think forgiveness for the other person, it's got to be genuinely and authentically for the other person, and then it is incredibly freeing and empowering and healing.
We'll also talk to a best-selling author about the role forgiveness plays in overcoming devastating trauma. That's all on today's American Cafe. In July of 2013, in Hartford, Wisconsin, Buck and Joy Blodgett's lives changed forever. Joy found their only child, their 19-year-old daughter Jessie, an aspiring actress and musician, unresponsive in her bedroom. Joy called 911 and said her daughter appeared to have strangulation marks on her neck. A one-time boyfriend of Jessie's, Daniel Bartelt, was eventually convicted of her murder and sentenced to life in prison. The story could have ended in bitterness and hatred, but it hasn't. I spoke with Jessie's father, Buck Blodgett, about how he was able to forgive Daniel Bartelt and begin to recover from the loss of his daughter.
Hard to explain why, but we had almost an overwhelming feeling immediately when we got the news about Jess, of just the preciousness of life and the sanctity of life. And we never hated Dan. And very rarely have I wrestled with anger towards him, which is inexplicable still to me. I feel blessed with kind of a grace, I was an atheist when this happened, and I probably won't talk like one now, but I just immediately we felt bad for him too. Like, what could have happened? We wanted to understand him, and how could he have been capable of such a thing? So, no, we really didn't struggle that much with anger and hatred.
Now, how did you come to a place of forgiveness? What did you do? Were there spiritual steps you took? Was there counseling or emotional counseling, like psychiatry or psychology, that you went to?
Honestly, I feel like forgiveness came to me. It feels to this day like a gift from a higher place, and I had to be open to it. I had to want it, and I had to accept it. And for the first year, I just was kind of riding this gift. Now, the last 2.5 years, it's been more like, oh, I'm supposed to work at this also, and I'm supposed to wake up every day and spend the beginning of my day, a few minutes at least, thinking and being clear about who I am and what I'm here for and what my mission in life is and how I choose to react to this terrible thing that's happened to us.
Are there steps that people can take? I've heard forgiveness described in a number of ways, like canceling a debt or not holding it against people. But the trauma of your loss has got to be, just trying to put myself in your place, if that happened to me, every time I looked at where my daughter used to live, or every time I saw someone like her, or every time I saw a young girl getting married in a commercial on television, that would bring that all up for me. What are the steps that you took? What did you do?
It's actually worse than that. Jessie is in my heart and my mind constantly for 3.5 years, more than she was in life. It's crazy. The steps I took, first and foremost, is forgiveness when you're ready. But keep this in mind. I don't think forgiveness for oneself's healing is true forgiveness. I think forgiveness for the other person, it's got to be genuinely and authentically for the other person, and then it is incredibly freeing and empowering and healing. So forgiveness is at the top of the list. The second is, actually the first step is just to face it head on. Joy and I knew from day one we couldn't stuff this, we couldn't bury it, we couldn't hold it deep inside and pretend it didn't happen. We had to face it with open eyes every second of every day until we didn't have to anymore. And Joy decided very early on, this is something that's worked great for me, to live life with an open heart, an open mind, an open will, and open eyes. because we also knew immediately we couldn't shut down, get bitter, get angry. That would eat us up.
Now, you also started the Love is Greater Than Hate project in Jesse's memory, and that is also one of the key things in your book, A Message from Jesse. Describe that for me. What does that foundation or project focus on?
We have a dual mission. Our missions are to end violence against women through cultural transformation and change, and the second mission is to have all people choosing love over hate. Now, I know those are lofty, and I wasn't born yesterday, and I don't expect them to happen next week. But we do three things, and we've made a massive impact in our very local area here with tentacles nationally and even some early tentacles globally. So I'm seeing how people are reacting to what we're doing with this tragedy, and it's really encouraging. Basically, we do presentations, we do a lot of media like this, and we have a community project whose mission is to measurably reduce violence against our girls and women in our county, Washington County, Wisconsin, in 3 years. When we get that done, we'll expand to neighboring counties and states and countries.
Buck Blodgett says the most important thing he wants people to know is that there has never been a greater need for people to practice love and forgiveness. Forgiveness is also one of the hallmarks of those affected by the Charleston, South Carolina church shootings. Self-proclaimed white supremacist Dylan Roof has been sentenced to death for killing 9 people at a Bible study in Emmanuel AME Church in 2015. Some of the families of those killed have said they do not hate Roof, they forgive him. Rich Wessenberg is the author of Treasures of the Believing Heart. He told me that the faith of the Charleston families is a key element in their healing.
Recognizing that there is life beyond this world, that to me is going to be a big part of these people moving forward to it, that there is a greater sense of hope beyond what you see in this world. That's a key healing element in itself.
Rich Wessenberg says that one of the first steps to finding healing after trauma is not emotional, but mental, making the decision to forgive the offender.
Right now, you're involved in it whether you like it or not, and you have to deal with it. You can't walk past it. And so hopefully as this develops down the road, we're dealing with people who are going to pray. They're going to apply biblical principle. I mean, they were in a Bible study, for God's sake. And to me, that sets them up in a good situation. But at the end of the day, it's each individual's own decisions on how they're going to make it. And the processes involved to receive, to me, on the end of it, is spiritual healing. I mean, it counters all thought. It'd be like, I can never forgive you for that. And to me, that is going to be the key for the spiritual power involved to bring the spiritual deliverance of healing, to move on past this, to move on in life, and to get the maximum amount of healing of this terrible, terrible situation.
So what about you? Have you experienced a traumatic event? Have you struggled to get past it? Do you think that forgiveness will help? Is there hope? Well, let us know your thoughts by logging on to our Facebook page, VOA American Cafe. We'd love to hear your story. If you want to know more about Buck Blodgett and the Love is Greater Than Hate Project, you can find them at thelovisgreaterthanhateproject.com. Rich Wessenberg's book, Treasures of the Believing Heart, is available at TatePublishing.com. Until next time, I'm David Byrd in Washington.